wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Good Monday morning to everybody, although for some of you, I know it might be some other time, some other day. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your witchy doctor, change advocate. We are on the Inspired Choices Network, inspiring you to make choices in your life to live your best, most enjoyable life. And this morning, I'm so excited to introduce my guest, Mitch Webb. Mitch Webb is a nervous system coach. Now, some of you may not know about nervous system coaching, but I'll tell you, as a physician, get yourself a nervous system coach. Your nervous system is how you feel and go through life. If I could wave my magic wand, I would change the name. It isn't a nervous system. It's a neural network. Using the language nervous system in my mind keeps us nervous because we're always calling about being nervous and thinking we are not living the way we're supposed to be living. So anyway, Mitch Webb has his own journey from traumatic brain injury. Boy, I can't speak this early Monday morning. Traumatic brain injury, burnout, chronic illness, Lyme disease, mold toxicity, living in survival mode. But he is no longer living in survival mode. He is thriving and he's living a vibrant life. And healing isn't about pushing harder. It's about listening more deeply is, I guess, a motto, I would say. And so welcome to my show, Mitch. I'm really, really excited to have you here, because as a high achiever, as a chronic pusher, as living in yang energy for my whole life, learning that there's another way to be in the world, right? That yin energy, the listening, the relaxing, the trusting, it's magical. It's magical to understand that there's a just being and doing, that we can actually hold both without always pushing. Is just beautiful. And I agree, the energy we exert, trying to pushing that rock up a hill, drains the body and keeps us from being our most vibrant, authentic, magical selves. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And I'm so glad you're here. And I want to know all about you and how, you know, a Southern man shows up doing nervous system work. So how do we get from A to B? I lived in the South for 8 years. I love it. Love your accent. Love the energy. But it's not exactly common for a big husky ex-football player, if I remember, to become a nervous system coach. So help us see the journey. Help us see your yellow brick road.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction, and excited to chat with you too. I'll second that. You know, I didn't think I'd be sitting here as a nervous system coach talking about emotions and mental wellness, you know, and can certainly understand or resonate with the all or nothing, the pushing. You know, I felt like I'm learning that I had one gear growing up, which allowed me to survive. I'm thankful for that, but that gear was overwhelming force. And that force works on the football field. It works at certain times in life, but there's other gears. And that's what I've learned over the last couple of years and getting more in touch with my body as I've went through chronic illness and found that, you know, healing the nervous system was the root that helped me and so many of the clients that I work with.
Yeah. So let's talk about that and like summarize, because most people, I would say, don't even understand that sentence. What does healing the nervous system mean to you?
Man, you know, I think so much of healing the nervous system is awareness. It's just becoming aware of how we relate to ourselves, the world, the environment, the people around us, and the things that the patterns that we use to survive. Like we talked about overwhelming force. Like I learned at a young age that if I was successful at sports, if I was getting the good grades, if I was, these are our survival patterns are what keep us in connection with other people. to get the love that we're seeking. And so we learn, oh, if I can be perfect, if I can be, if I can win all the time, if I can succeed, then I can stay in connection with the people I love, my family, the teachers, the coaches that I've worked with. And so it's all coming back to how are we relating to the world and how's it affecting us? You know, I really, with my coaching, I don't go into the past as much as what's going on now and how are we related? How did the stress and the traumas of the past, how is that shaping our lives now? And how do we want to be different versus the things that kept us able to survive and stay in connection with others growing up?
I want to interject for just a moment. The one thing you said, which I loved, was we get survival patterns that keep us connected to those around us, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have this shared civilization and this shared way of seeing the world, behaving in the world. And as children, we develop patterns that, because we are supposed to survive and we don't know how to survive on our own, right? So our survival patterns, the patterning, right? It's the wiring and the patterning that just keeps us in that connection with the shared stories. Mm-hmm. But we end up wearing it like an overcoat. Yeah. And what if those shared stories that, you know, they're not even true, right? But I love the awareness that we're just all trying to survive and we're all, right? And so we're trying to fit in. And for people to understand, you're not broken, you're not wrong, you didn't do anything wrong, but our patterning, you know, is shaped one way. And it's only if we want to change, it's like taking Legos. If you build them red, yellow, blue, red, yellow, blue, red, yellow, blue. And then all of a sudden you're like, maybe I want red, blue, yellow, mm-hmm. you know? And, but we get so the wiring, the nerves that fire together, right? Mm-hmm. Yes. Or the wire together, fire together, either way. We get stuck and so I really want people to understand, and what was adaptive as a child may not do us the best as an adult.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we have these survival patterns that, thank God we had them. We needed them in environments that didn't feel safe. And so we take them on so that we can feel safe, so that we can stay in connection, so that we can feel loved. But we form an identity around us. And so many, myself included, the people I work with, we think that's who we are. Oh, I am a people pleaser. I am perfect.
Right.
I love making other people happy. But we don't understand, because we're not aware, because we're just surviving, that this is draining our battery. This is why we have the anxiety. This is why I can't sleep right at night, because deep down, my soul wants to be itself. It wants to be authentic. It wants to express itself. But I have emotions and ways of being and parts of myself that weren't allowed. And I'm not even aware of that, because my psyche is going to keep that buried to keep me safe. But then I grow up and I'm an adult human, and I feel like a cat on a hot tin roof. You know, I have all this tension I'm carrying in my body. I have these symptoms that we say are normal. And I'm, you know, I'm trying to fix myself and be perfect and show up with this mask on. And I don't even know I have a mask on. And so it's very much a journey of awareness that unfolds. But as we connect with the body and pay attention, the body gives us more. Oh, now he's listening. Now he's feeling his butt in his chair. He's looking at the environment around us instead of anticipating and thinking his way to safety. He's here now. He's paying attention. So now these parts can come back. These emotions can come up, and we can welcome those parts back and start to become our authentic self, which is, I think that's what we're all trying to do. And that's what this work is.
Yeah. I talk about, we are remembering ourselves back to wholeness as the way we were when we first entered the planet, when we didn't have all the ways of being. And you're right, we don't even realize. And even our best feature, like let's say someone wants to make people happy, that's great, that's not bad. It's when you take it to the extreme level and you lose yourself in making people happy. Yeah. Right. And so often our the inner judge in us and the inner, the saboteurs, the patterning is using our strengths, but using them to such a degree that they become weaknesses. They become blind spots. So yeah, I love that. So what was your story? How did you, football player dude from the South, right? How did you end up doing this work?
I mean, I was losing my mind with, you know, dealing with anxiety. I mean, I'm sitting here writing a post this morning about having insomnia for 20 years. That's really what got my attention. I was so uncomfortable. And, you know, I would go to the doctor and they give me benzos and give me immune suppressants for skin stuff I was dealing with. I have a whole slew of a crazy health story. But my body was on fire and I had no way of explaining it. And eventually I went and learned everything that I could do in the biohacking world and health optimization space and made myself a guinea pig and tried every supplement, every diet, every protocol, every biohacking protocol that you can imagine. I still like some of those things and I learned a lot from those things, but I was using them as control to feel safe when I felt out of control. So that's really where I started is insomnia for 20 years, anxiety, and everybody around me telling me, hey, that's normal, get used to it. And I was just not willing to do that.
Yeah, isn't that interesting that we've normalized dis-ease in the body? Yeah. I was talking to someone the other day about, you know, people, oh, you're just getting old. I'm like, freaking A, no. I want to be the 120-year-old that's still, you know, walking and hiking every day. And so we have a story that dis-ease in the body is normal. Anxiety is normal. Not sleeping is normal. Mm-hmm. So the biohacking worked and didn't work, or what worked and what didn't work? Because again, even that you said, you know, you're healing yourself, you're biohacking. And I'm sure there were some things that were helping you have good habits, but it obviously wasn't fixing the problem, right? So how did you wake up to this isn't really working?
Well, what I've learned over these last couple of years is that I brought a lot of those trauma patterns into my health experience. And so if like cleaning up my diet and eating, going from like, you know, in college, I was drinking beer and eating hot wings. That was pretty much my diet, right?
Okay.
So I learned at that time, oh man, organic food and whole foods and, you know, maybe not eating fast food all the time, or maybe skipping a night of drinking 10 beers or something like that. Those are all positive change. But then the dark side of that for me was, okay, what about restriction? What about I thought there was some perfect diet that I was going to find that eventually my anxiety would go away. And that started with a coach who ran a test on me. I came back borderline celiac. And he brings a six pack of gluten-free beer to me. And my brain thought, oh, if I can just avoid gluten, then I'll never have anxiety again. At the time, I loved drinking beer. I was growing my own hops. I was brewing my own beer. It was something I was interested in. And so I cut that part of me out. I said, not allowed anymore. And that's kind of the same pattern that I had when I was a kid, when I tried to express myself, to be vulnerable, to be emotional. Hey, that's not allowed as a boy. Right. And so I was taking the same pattern and applying that to myself. And I just went down the rabbit hole of what can I restrict to the point where, you know, I'm cutting out carbs completely. That helped when I had metabolic issues and it was good. But I went to meat and salt. Eventually, I couldn't digest any food. And I was putting gas on the fire. So I'm bringing these patterns of all or nothing, perfection, control, to feel safe into a world, instead of saying, hey, you know, there's a middle ground. I think of things as like a bell curve, right? Like on one side, we've got optimization. We got Brian Johnson, right? You're seeing a lot of stuff about him right now. And on the other side, we have the guy, let's just say, that's smoking cigarettes, drinking beer, and eating fast food. I would say that both of these are not resilient. Both of these are, what's the word I'm looking for?
They're living on the extremes. Yeah,
exactly. And life is somewhere here in the middle. And so that's what I was doing, is bouncing in the extremes. I was the guy that would be in the ice bath 5 days a week, breaking the ice to get in there, doing that a couple times a day, like restricting my food, waking up in the morning if I had low energy, giving myself a bunch of coffee, doing a hard workout, skipping lunch, skipping meals until lunchtime, until 2, 3 o'clock, and wondering why I couldn't go to sleep at nighttime because my cortisol is going crazy.
That's a great, it's time for our first break. And I love, I just want people to think about where they fall on that scale. I like the rainbow. I talk about a seesaw. I like the rainbow because it's more colorful, but mm-hmm. the extremes, and you know, you can look at the two sides of the rainbow, or what color of the rainbow are you hanging out in, you know? And let's take our first break. Once again, you're listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. We have with us Mitch Webb, nervous system coach, and come right back so we can learn so much more from him and the nervous system, which, my friends, is a neural network. It's a sensation system. Stop calling it a nervous system so you stop being nervous. All right, let's go to our first break.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. You are once again listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. If you like the stuff you learn on this podcast, please go ahead and maybe purchase a copy for yourself or a friend of my book based on the podcast, Your Healing Playground. It has lots of tips and tools about how you can live your best life. You can heal yourself. You can heal with others. And life is a play. It's your play. So go ahead and play on your playground. So Mitch, you developed issues that led to living in the extremes, and you wanted to heal yourself. You wanted to live a more vibrant life. You wanted to sleep at night. So I'm curious two things. Number one, what do you think sparked the patterns that became your go-tos? And the reason I ask that is mostly, again, you don't have to dive into your past. What I want to do is have our listeners, like, are there a few things that can help the listeners to see themselves in your awareness, right? What were those patternings that you developed in childhood? That you mentioned one, control and restriction, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe define that in a way so our listeners can go, hey, these are patterns I have. I didn't know that those were nervous system issues, right? So can you help us learn things to look for in our bodies?
Absolutely. It's a great question. So I have three that come to mind. And one is working harder. If I work really hard, then I can overcome. I can do anything. I learned that from sports. Perfection. If I can nail this and get it right every time, then how can I go wrong? And then also the control and restriction, the one that we talked about. And the reason it's sneaky is because these are very productive, celebrated things that we see in society. But right. What I learned is that this is OCD. This is, I feel very unsafe and I'm going to control everything around me. I'm going to be perfect and I'm going to bust my ass if I want to be successful. Now, the first story that comes to mind when I think of this is coming home from freshman football practice and not getting a starting position and not talking to my dad, being very quiet, not opening up about the practice, being really pissed off. And what did I do? I went straight to the smoothie machine and took the double weight gainer, and I'm just loading it in there, and I'm going to gain weight, and I'm going to get big, and I'm going to work really hard. By the time I was a senior, I think I had gained 75 pounds from my freshman year to my senior year. I had a starting position. We were a number one team in high school sports, and we were a contender for the state championship, right? And so I like, oh, that this works. This hard work pays off. And so I took that pattern into my health journey. And I looked at how can I, what can, if diet helps me feel better when I improve that, well, how can I be perfect with it? How can I restrict more? You know, what, going from every restrictive diet you can imagine to the point where I'm micromanaging and I'm trying to fix myself and figure out what's wrong. And so there's this underlying story that I'm broken and I need to be the one that fixes that. And so this is kind of like when we talk about the nervous system, this is the brain retraining and the top-down approach where we can see the way that we compulsively try to fix ourselves when we're in stress. And so think about anything. My gut doesn't feel good. I didn't sleep good. I have fatigue today. I'm in anxiety. I'm going to apply all three of these strategies. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to do perfect supplements. I'm going to do perfect diets. I'm going to control every outcome from my morning routine to my evening routine. Mm-hmm. And if you've got something going on, the wellness industry has a lot of options for you. We could talk about circadian rhythm. We could talk about cortisol and melatonin. We could talk about evening routines and blue light. We can talk about avoiding, I mean, everything. Yesterday, I heard Dr. Rhonda Patrick talking about avoiding blueberries and bananas and smoothies. Whoa. And it's like, what's the flavor of the week? What's the next thing for us to be afraid of and be perfect about? And it was just feeding right into these patterns that feel good. When we have a boo-boo, society tells us, put a Band-Aid on it, take a pill, make it go away. Yeah. Instead of building the capacity to be with uncertainty, to be uncomfortable, to be human.
And ooh, so hold on. I got to stop you because that is, I want everyone to hear that. Building the capacity to live with uncertainty. That's the muscle that the nervous system, right? The co-regulation. That is so, nothing is ever certain. Other than change and uncertainty, right? The only constant in this life is change. So I love that. The most important thing is to build your capacity. Build your capacity, strengthen the ability to be alive and to handle all the fluctuations and variations on the theme. So keep going, but I had to stop and really celebrate that sentence because that's so critical.
Well, I get questions about capacity all the time. People want to know. That is a big part of a part of the work that I do with my clients is capacity building. And capacity, people want to know what is that and how do we build that? And you know, I think about it from like a gym perspective, right? Like you don't come into the gym day one and deadlift 500 pounds. That takes time. That takes repetition. That takes showing up and having a routine and doing it all the time, right? We're building the capacity to be with the intensity of that weight. So if we have intense things going on in our body, what we tend to do is go up into our head and think our way to safety by anticipating the next thing, trying to not make the old scary thing come back, whether we're aware of it or not.
Right.
And so we are not here in our body and we're living in our head. Society rewards this. But the journey is to come down into the body and build the capacity to be in our body, to not be in our head, to feel, to notice all the freedom that we want, the freedom from the symptoms, the freedom to express ourselves. It happens here in the moment. It happens in the now. But so many of us are living in our head and thinking our way to safety, and it makes sense, right? And so by building capacity, capacity means that I can feel something that is uncomfortable, and I can also know that I am safe.
Right. I love it.
And so can I, what I do with my clients is noticing these patterns. Well, what do I do when I feel unsafe? Well, the first thing I may notice, I'm going into my head and I'm thinking, I'm anticipating, I'm preparing. And as I even just say those words, I feel the tension in my body. It's like you're at the starting line of a race. You're waiting for the gun to go off. You're waiting for the worst possible thing, and you're preparing for that. Instead of noticing my body breathing and noticing my body connected to the ground and here, that's parasympathetic. That's rest and digest versus like sympathetic is preparing to launch.
To run, fight, flight, freeze, or please. Everything's going to the muscles and not to living. It's going to preventing death instead of living.
And it's living in a constant state of hypervigilance.
Oh yeah.
And so if that's the only gear and the only state that I know is survival and anticipate and prepare, well, of course I'm going to be, tight and have symptoms and my gut's not working because it's not a time.
It's not supposed to.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a time to rest and digest. It's time to run and save your life. But that's and here's the thing that's crazy too. Society breeds this. It's not just our conditioning is just a part of it. You know, society wants us overstimulated, wants us paying attention to social media, comparing the worst part of ourselves to the best part of someone else. We got shitty food supply. We got bad. We got pharmaceuticals to make the bad feelings go away. We've got politics to separate us. We've got, fake environments that we live in and there's no connection to the earth. And so it's like, of course you're overstimulated, and it's a natural response to want to fix it and figure it out and understand what's going on. But when we're constantly going into these patterns, bringing these survival patterns into life, we're abandoning ourselves and we don't know it. And then we're wondering why we're all stressed out. Life is stressful.
Yeah, I totally get it. What a good time to just take a breather. Because it's time for our break. I want people to breathe into you're not broken and life is doing this. It's conditioning us to live this way, but you don't have to live this way.
Yep.
We have a shared civilization of this is the way we're supposed to be in this overstimulated society. So take a break. Breathe during your break, folks. Breathe, slow down, get in your body, and come right back because we'll get more from Mitch Webb, nervous system coach. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I'm your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, and we're on the Inspired Choices Network.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. If you like this podcast, we are every Monday morning, but you can find it on all the places you get your podcasts. If you like it, please share with your friends. Please subscribe. I really am having trouble with my mouth this morning. And leave us a review. A 5-star review really helps us get seen and noticed. And really, it's not about me. It's about you and your friends learning how to play through this life. My friends, learning how to live and thrive. It's not about survival. It's about really enjoying your day, your body, your life. And today I have with me nervous system coach Mitch Webb. And I love his philosophy on life. I see myself in you. I totally fell prey to perfectionism, control, you know, working hard, reward. But I always loved to play. And I was like, I was a work play, you know, work hard, play hard. Come on. That was the motto at Duke University, right? But the irony was that the play for me, I think the difference for me was I always knew it was the play that allowed me to work, not as a reward for work. I really knew that if I didn't play and have fun and enjoy life, then it wouldn't be work. Like, it was a weird thing. I think I knew that intuitively, that the play was not the reward. The play was the goal. And I designed my work. Someone said to me in training, can you not be so happy at work? And I was like, no, I love what I do, you know? And anyway, so my suspicion is what you're doing right now, you're loving what you're doing because you are living authentically, sharing what your lived experience, right? And for any human, I think when we share from the lived experience, we're doing the work we were meant to do. And that gives us such a purpose in life. It becomes, you're aligned, heart and mind and spirit, right? Because you're doing, you're sharing your wisdom. So again, when people come to you and they hear, okay, they're watching your videos, they're on social media, which I say is living from the head, always be comparing instead of living from the heart, always be compassionate, right? Awareness, beingness, compassionate is always be communicating and awareness, being and compassionate with your soul, right? That's when you're living from your heart, not your mind. So they see you on social media and you grab them. They realize that they're always controlling life to somehow get to a place. They're trying to get somewhere instead of be somewhere. Right? I'll be happy when, instead of, no, I'm going to be in my body and be happy now. I'm going to choose to be happy. Right? So how do you get them when they're living in this control and this destination oriented world that keeps, it's like holding the carrot, you know, and you're constantly chasing the carrot. How do you get them back in their body?
You know, it's a process. And again, it's all awareness. And so I think in the beginning, we have to have some education around the nervous system, around how, you know, these symptoms that a lot of people that come to me, they're dealing with chronic symptoms. And they may not even say that. They may say, I'm overwhelmed. I got a lot of pressure on me. I'm a high performer. These are caregivers and entrepreneurs and business owners, former military guys, athletes. And so they have to see how their life and how they're relating to themselves and the pressure that they're under, how they're relating to that, right? And that, hey, the anxiety that you're experiencing, the overthinking, these are signs. We get taught that symptoms are bad, but that we think that we're broken because of them. And so that's a big part, is just recognizing, hey, this is normal. You're in the soup. You're in your conditioning. These are things that happened when you were a kid. So it's kind of a waking up process. We then build the capacity to see how we compulsively try to fix ourselves, figure out what's going on, fearing it, focusing on sensation all day long, focusing on the problem, anticipating, living in our head. And then there's, you know, the building the capacity to be in the body. That's learning to orient, to feel our body in space, to follow our impulse, to be instead of constantly doing. And so, and here's my favorite part. It's learning to live life and do the things that you love now instead of waiting for some outcome to happen. And this was like one of the biggest shifts in my life. And when I'm working with clients, as we're learning about these behaviors and these patterns and building capacity to feel and experience and have emotions and let some of that stuff out, we learn to get in touch with our values. And what happens is, we live life from our values instead of like responding and making our life small because of the symptoms. Like myself, a year and a half ago, I was in bed. I had so much fatigue and anxiety, insomnia, and I was like waiting to start the podcast, waiting to help people, waiting to hang out with my friends and travel with my wife and go to dinner and eat foods and whatever it was. I was controlling and being perfect and avoiding, and my life got really small. And so seeing that was a lot of grief comes up as we go, man, like I want to live this vibrant life and all these things that I'm anticipating and wanting, like I can do those now, but I'm telling myself I can't because of the symptoms. And so what I would tell the audience member that's listening and hearing this and going, oh man, that sounds like me. I would say whatever the thing is that you've been avoiding because of your symptom, for me, it was I want to eat more foods. I want to work out. I want to travel. I want to do fun shit with my wife. It's like, do that right now, because right. Those are the things that you value: freedom, connection, travel, health. We can do those things now and do it with the symptoms. Do it with the anxiety. Do it with the fatigue. Do it with the sleepless nights. Mm-hmm. And over time, doing the thing that you love, experiencing joy, experiencing passion, having fun in life, and having the symptoms with you without trying to make them go away, it teaches your system that you're actually safe. These right. symptoms are just the body's way of getting our attention and telling us to slow down. And so we go, hey, symptoms, I hear you. And I'm going to go play golf. I'm going to go have a beer with my buddies. I'm going to have the damn pizza. I'm going to go work out right now. And I don't care if you're going to scream at me the whole time. I may need to adjust the workout or, you know, take it in a way that meets where my capacity is at right now. But I'm going to do the thing that I love. And that updates the system every time. The brain goes, oh, we didn't die. We had fun. Maybe we are safe. And maybe I don't need to send these symptoms all day long to get this guy to slow down and pay attention to me. Maybe we are safe now.
Right. Yeah. I love when you're living in your head, the minute you feel a negative emotion, recognize that that means you're in your head and you're in your child. You're in survival mode, and it's brilliant. If you touch the hot stove and you need to pull your hand away, you want that survivor child. If you step in the street and the cars and you're like, jump back, like she's keeping you safe. He's keeping you safe. But when you notice the negativity, stop and go, oh, that's my child. Am I really safe or am I really in danger? I'm not going to die. And then you can go, get back in your body and make decisions from the body, you take a step away from the brain. And I have patients all the time, right, trying to get pregnant. And I'm like, if you were pregnant, how would your pregnant body act? If you were a mom already, how would that mom react? And then live as if that is already here. Be the person you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And tell the nervous system, you got this. Whether I'm pregnant or not, I'm going to live my life. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And let go of the need to have the outcome, and the outcome's more likely to show up. So I love it. Getting out of the head is, it's, you know, it's our best feature as humans and our worst feature at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, at one time when we were cavemen and cavewomen, when we went to the part of the forest where the bear was and it chased us and we got away from it, we wanted to learn not to go back there. But now those alarms are going off every time we turn on our phone or turn on the TV.
Yeah.
And we start avoiding all of these things and applying that same philosophy to everyday life and telling ourselves we can't do this or can't do that. And then next thing you know, we're sitting on the couch waiting for symptoms to go away before we start the business, hang out with our friends, do the things that we love. And that just reinforces to the brain that life is dangerous,
right,
and that life is scary. And you have to use your higher brain, build education and awareness to see this pattern, grieve that part of you that's controlling, and move towards what you want and allow those emotions to come up and to surface. Because it is not a bad thing. Symptoms aren't bad. They're trying to save your life, and they want to get you back to being the person that you were meant to be.
Right. I joke, not joke, that emotions, right, the word is energy in motion. It's dis-ease in the body is the body trying to get your attention to allow the emotion and the energy to start circulating and flowing and not staying stuck in one place. So, you know, it's, I talk about ingest, digest, metabolize, and catalyze, and then express, because we do that. The body knows how to do that for the air, food, and water, right? But we need to, the body as a child knows how to do it with emotions, but then we get stuck and we get told not to do it. We get frustrated, whatever. So when people come to you, you start with awareness, and what are your top three tools to have them become more aware? What do you, what's the guidance back to awareness in a sense that you use?
So everybody's different, right?
Right.
So
I love
there's
that.
Gonna be different approaches with different people. But some examples that come to my mind is here's the thing. Here's where we get it wrong as coaches and therapists and practitioners is I learn one modality and I'm going to apply that to everybody that comes in the door. And some people, it is really scary to be in their body. It's really scary to feel either you
right.
come in here feeling way too much or not feeling anything or a combination.
Right.
And so you really have to assess the individual. And a lot of times, you know, as a somatic, I love somatic stuff. I love brain stuff. I love everything.
Right.
And you really work with the door that the person gives us. Like if they're very intellectual and they want to understand and talk, that's where we're going to start. They're going to learn. They're going to, hey, go read this book and tell me which, like I love Dr. Claire Weeks. She's from like the 30s, 40s.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about how she calls it nervous breakdowns. And it's nervous system sensitization and dysregulation can be thrown in there as well. And all these symptoms that we're experiencing are normal. You're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you, but we've got this narrative that we're broken. So can we see that? Okay. Next, can I start to be here now? And I use a couple different modalities. I trained with Irene Lyon. We did things like Feldenkrais and somatic awareness and somatic mm-hmm. tracking and learning to just, can I feel my butt in my chair right now?
Right.
Can I notice my breath? And, okay. And so as I learn And there may be a lot of activation that comes with that. It might be very scary to feel that. And so we titrate, we do tiny amounts of that. So we may feel the body for a little bit, and then we have a resource that we may orient to, bring our attention to our dog, to nature, to the tree outside my window that I like to look at, right? It's just bringing me back to here. It's showing me I can feel the difficult thing, and I can go back and I can regulate, and I can feel a resource that helps me feel more grounded and more calm. That's pendulation, right? And that is building capacity. What we start to do next is go into, this is all kind of building awareness in the body, is we start by following your impulses, something that Irene came up with. And we start with following bodily impulses, like when I'm thirsty, do I drink water? When I'm hungry, can I eat? When I'm tired, can I rest? Can I walk outside and move around? If my body's feeling a lot of energy, can I go move with it? And so you're telling the body, hey, I'm going to listen to you and respond to you. As we do that, we learn to feel more in our body. And the more we pay attention, respond, and give our body what it needs, the more it gives us.
So it's we have to take our last break, but that's a perfect thing. The more we listen to our body, the more the body talks to us and tells us. So the communication heightens. So let's take our break. Remember, I have my guest, Mitch Webb. We have one more segment to go. Come right back. You're listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. Once again, you are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. You can follow me at drtinaplays.com, where I advertise my communities, my retreats, in any courses that are coming up next. With me today, I have Mitch Webb. Mitch, remind everybody your website so they can find you.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate it, Tina. MitchWebb.com is my website.
Oh, that's a difficult one to remember. Mitch Webb, MitchWebb.com. He is brilliant. He put his name in his website, MitchWebb.com, and he helps you get back in your body to live your best life, to see your patterns and repattern your patterns, right? You're not broken. You don't need to be fixed. You just need to rearrange patterns, right? What worked at one point may not be working as well anymore. So let's go. So some people, you start in the brain and they understand what's going on. Some people, it's about starting in the body and helping them actually get aware of their body. I was a head on a stick for so many years. I think that's why I loved exercise, because I got in my body. I could feel my body when I was exercising, right? Tell me your other little tips of the trade, your tools.
I think another really big one is just starting when we start to slow down and we're paying attention to the body. Can I feel the temperature of my hand on my chest? Can I feel my butt in my chair? And then now I go to talk about the thing that I'm here to talk about. And I notice, oh, my heart is racing. oh my, there's tension in my chest. Now the body is, that pathway in the brain is now opening up and saying, come get me. It's saying, it's like we're tapping into those younger parts that protected, that prepared, that anticipated. And there's all these bodily sensations that are happening. The body is telegraphing us and speaking to us. And so as we pay attention to that, what happens next? Like, what are the compulsive ways that we go to fix ourselves, right? That we make it go away. Well, we can even bring this into the healing world and say, you know, we learn all these nervous system regulation techniques. So every time I feel uncomfortable, I'm going to go do my morning routine. I'm going to go do my habitual way of making it go away, of managing how I feel. And so if I can slow down and I can see that, we've already said this on the show before, healing is about choice. Well, now I have a choice. I can go into the habitual way of fixing myself, or I can watch it. I can become the observer and see what happens next. That is capacity. I got this uncomfortable thing that's happening. I'm noticing this compulsion to, I mean, one of the things that helped me early on was I realized I was compulsively, I was taught how to muscle test, right? So kinesiology, do I want to drink this water or not? You know, and doing this like sway test thing. Okay. So I would wake up every morning and I was taught to go stand in front of the supplement cabinet and take whatever notice how I'm feeling, and then take the amount of supplement or whatever it was. But what that's doing is it's telling my nervous system that there's a threat here, that we got to figure this out. We got to make it go away. And there's a lot of fear that's happening that's driving all of that. And that took me a while to be able to see that fear. So my coach who was helping with this had me go, hey, it's not bad to take supplements. It's not bad to support your body. But when we go into fixing, we're sending the wrong signal. And so instead of...
Ooh, I'm going to stop. We're getting close to the end, but I love it. Fix versus support. And language creates your reality, which is why I don't like nervous system, right? I like neural network collaborative. But yeah, you're supporting your body. You're building capacity.
Yes. And so what I was doing was I was not building capacity because I was trying to make whatever was there go away. And so what I did was I just put it in a pill organizer. Okay, here's the supplements you're going to take. Got your D3 in there, got your multivitamin, got your magnesium, whatever. Okay, great. Take that. Those things are supportive. But I quit the fixing part. So I quit the compulsively trying to make things go away and managing how I felt. It took me 2 weeks and my body freaked out. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of anger, a lot of things that came up. But that's one of the last stages of what I do is expressing ourselves. When we're expressing emotions, when we're expressing sensations in the body, they're no longer stuck. Right? They don't create more symptoms. And so being able to map our patterns and how we compulsively try to fix ourselves and make it go away, that's another really big part. But it takes a lot of awareness. It takes being able to regulate, to having resources and things that help us settle when we're feeling activated, to be able to have the education to know, yes, this thing's uncomfortable and I'm safe.
And on that note, we have to get ready to wrap up because we've come to the end. But I love what you just ended with, which was expression, because expression is releasing the stored energy that is in the cells, that all the body wants to do is take in energy and then give it back to the universe. Take it in, give it back, take it in, give it back. And you are supposed to express what you're feeling and be aware of what you're feeling. And being in your body, you're here on this planet to live in your human avatar. So we might as well get friends with our human avatar and stop fighting our human avatar and the microbiome and everything else that we live in our society and our civilization. Let's bring the world back to collaboration and not competition. Thank you so much, Mitch Webb at MitchWebb.com. My friends, we all can use a dose of nervous system coaching. Myself, yourself, Mitch, I bet everybody uses it, needs it every day, not because you're broken, because you want to build capacity for a bigger, stronger, more vibrant life.
If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice and play is your medicine.